Here is the first weekend of me as an Uber driver. I hope you enjoy.
It's Ray. We're in the Uber car, waiting to get some people to get picked up. I'm driving, and hopefully we get some good audio tonight. All right.
What's up?
I've just picked up a bunch of crazy people. Hello, people.
I'm Ray Lytle.
You're Ray Lytle? Well, shut up.
Oh, the humanity.
I'm having a hot flash.
Oh, I can't move my foot that way, Jen.
Your hair is all blowing in the wind. You look so sexy.
We came back from, that was church. we were praising Jesus.
Where are you from, Tyler?
McLean.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, guess where that is.
And what are you doing down here?
Well, my girlfriend's in the front seat.
Oh. Oh, wait, and you guys, and you live here?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Really? I listen to your show every day.
That's me.
I do. I listen to this guy's show every day. I listen to your show all the time.
That's awesome, man. Thank you.
Sean, calm down.
This guy's like a radio. This guy's like a radio kingpin in Springfield. Like a Springfield idol here. I remember listening to you when I was like 10 years old. Being like,
this guy is a legend. Hey. Thank you.
Take care, man.
Where are we going?
Thanks so much.
So, Mikey.
I love you.
What's your favorite word?
It's my favorite word?
Yeah.
Conundrum.
Oh, my. Ooh.
That's a cool word.
Probably my favorite word.
I like
All right, well, that's two words.
She's like, take a left right here.
Very good.
So, there you go. Pretty interesting stuff. There's my first weekend as an Uber driver. I hope you enjoyed. It's the Ray Lytle Show. People, listen to me. This is how I talk. He puts on this big fake like radio voice, but here's a little bit of his YouTube video that got everyone fired up.
Hey guys, what's up? Josh Furstein here. You know, I think in the age of
Hey guys, what's up? Josh Furstein here. Does anyone really talk like that? I mean, come on.
Political correctness, we become so open-minded, our brains have literally fallen out of our head. Do you realize that Starbucks,
your brain hasn't literally fallen out of your head, or you'd be dead.
Take Christ and Christmas off of their brand new cups. That's why they're just plain red. In fact, do you realize that Starbucks isn't allowed to say Merry Christmas to customers? Well, I decided instead of simply boycotting, well, why don't we just start a movement? So when I went in and I asked for my coffee, they asked for my name, and I told them my name is Merry Christmas. So guess what, Starbucks? I tricked you into putting Merry Christmas on your cup.
Oh, you're so brilliant for tricking a barista. This person is desperately screaming for attention. Hey, gang, Josh Fierstein here with the worst ever idea to hurt Starbucks. My plan is to give them more money because I'm an imbecile. But I will shoot a barista square in the face for not saying Merry Christmas to me. Someone said Merry Xmas and I shot him twice. I shot him twice, Barb. Twice.
How would Caitlyn Jenner...
Oh, please.
Hello, it's me, Caitlyn. I'm getting my Caitlyn impersonation down, Barb.
Yeah.
Hi, Barb. It's Caitlyn Jenner on the phone calling to talk to you. I would love to do an interview with Ray about me if I could talk to him. It's Caitlyn Jenner.
See, I'm getting the impersonation down. Let me ask you, what would Caitlyn Jenner answer about what she thinks about same-sex marriage? Oh, she was on Ellen DeGeneres, and Ellen talked to her about how she's a big Republican. So she had to answer the question.
Want someone to support.
I agree with that in some cases.
And same-sex marriage?
Because Ellen says, you know, you're a big Republican, but a lot of Republicans don't like things like any kind of rights for trans people, and they're certainly, a lot of them are against same-sex marriage. So here's what Caitlyn had to say.
Gay marriage? I have to admit that I remember 15 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever it was when this whole gay marriage issue came up, at first I was not for it. I mean, I thought, I'm a traditionalist. I'm older than most people in the audience, you know? I mean, I kind of like tradition, and, you know, it's always been a man and a woman. And I'm thinking, I don't quite get it.
Don't you get the feeling that Bruce Jenner is still a little icky on the whole gay thing?
When this whole quote-unquote transition was going on,
he said he still liked women.
Yeah, but here's the deal. But he's telling everyone, I'm a woman. You need to call me she. I'm a woman. Okay. I don't like all those gay people. Oh, but in essence, if you're a woman and you're telling us you like women, then either A, Caitlyn Jenner is still confused about what's going on there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or B, she's gay.
Well,
I mean, she says, you can't call me he. I'm a she. I'm a woman. Maybe. I'm Caitlyn. I'm a woman. Look at my big old bazooms. I'm Caitlyn.
Maybe he thinks he's a lesbian.
But that's it. The whole thing is he still feels icky about gay people. If she's a woman and she goes out with women, she's gay. And if he says, no, that's not gay, then obviously he doesn't think he's a woman. Do you see? That's the confusion.
Hey, Ray.
How are you?
I wanted to mention something real quick to the people that are really afraid of these, you know, refugees coming into the U.S. I understand the fear, but today there is news that France is accepting 30,000 Syrian refugees.
Yeah.
And this is after they were just attacked.
Yeah.
So if it's that bad of a thing to do.
Well, Brian, I remember last year at this time, and I'm sure you do too, and let me just say this. If the people who have called this show and are convinced that we're going to let in terrorists by letting in these refugees are right, it would be the first time, because last year they were calling in, and if they would have all been correct last year with their predictions, we would have all been dead of Ebola.
Oh, that's right. That's when that hysteria was.
Yeah, and guess what? We're not.
We're not. You don't even hear about it anymore. It's not an issue.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
And I notice it's the same people. It's the same exact people calling about Ebola last year that are calling me now this year. And this time it's refugees. And God knows what it'll be next year and the year after that. It's always something. There's always something to be scared of. I'm scared. Ron, you are on the air. I will allow you to say whatever you want, Ron. Go right ahead.
Yeah, there are arguments both ways. But I don't see any Christians on the news putting people in cages and setting them on fire. I don't see Christians putting people in pools and drowning them. I don't see them putting 3- and 4-year-old kids on crosses and crucifying them in the middle of the street. And it seems like Obama is more prejudiced against Christians than he is Muslim.
How is he prejudiced against Christians by saying we're not going to have a religious litmus test to determine who gets into the country?
Because he's asking us to sit back, be tolerant, and take the hit. He's asking Christians to sit back and let the Islamic fundamentalists do whatever they want to do. I haven't heard Barack Obama defend Christians or Christianity one time.
You do realize it's not the president of the United States' job to defend Christianity. It's never, ever in the history of this country been the president of the United States' job to defend any religion. Especially not Christianity.
It is when the Muslims are impeding on our freedom and trying to take it away from us, and that's
wait a minute. Do you think that the Muslims have declared war on Christians?
I think it's basic, fundamental Islamic belief that Western people need to go away. And
basic, fundamental Muslim belief. You think every single person? Every single Muslim feels that way? You honestly feel that?
I think that a majority of them sit silently and watch and don't mind what's going on.
Okay, no, wait a minute. You believe every Muslim feels this way. Now you're saying the majority watch and don't say anything. What is it you're actually saying?
I'm not going to make a blanket statement, but I'm saying...
After you've already made two, but go ahead.
I think a majority of Islamic people are sitting back, watching what the extremists do, and I don't think they really mind it.
Ron, the majority of people killed by ISIS are Muslim. You do realize that, right? It's not like they're going around killing...
What does it matter if they're Christian or Muslim, the people they're killing? The fact is they're killing them.
Well, you're saying that all the Muslims don't have a problem with ISIS, with what ISIS is doing. But I just told you, they're killing Muslims. You think the Muslims that they killed didn't have a problem with them? You think the families of the people they killed don't have a problem with it?
I really don't.
I invite you to rethink what you have said.
Okay. The president is more favors the Muslims more than he does the Christians.
Right. Ron's very Christian, everyone. Thank you, Ron.
Yep.
It is the Ray Lytle Show. Time for Is It Florida? Hello, John Latessa.
Hello, Ray.
Are you ready to play?
I'm always ready.
Hello, Barb Ferguson Fee.
If I don't play pretty soon, I think I'm going to explode.
Are you ready to play?
I need to play badly.
All right, it's time to play.
In the worst way.
Is it Florida? Barb versus John Championship Edition. All right, John, I'm going to let you go first. For those that don't know how the game works, very simple. Very simple. There are four stories. Our contestants will each pick two stories, and I will read the story. They will then guess whether the story took place in Florida or somewhere else. These stories could have taken place anywhere, although they do all sound like they took place in Florida. It will be our contestants' chance to vote and guess, and if they get it correct, they get a point. Let's see who wins at the end. John, your first story. One, two, three, or four?
Number four.
All right. John, there's a guy who lives at home with his mother and stepfather, and he loves Kool-Aid. Now, if I told you to guess the age of someone who loves Kool-Aid, you'd probably guess, oh, I don't know, 8, maybe 10 or 11.
Child age, sure.
Yes. However, this person is 32. And he was drinking some Kool-Aid in Florida on Saturday night when his 57-year-old stepfather accidentally knocked over the cup.
Uh-oh.
Well, this made the man, whose name is Armand, it made Armand very unhappy. And he started arguing with his stepfather because he was angry that the man knocked over his Kool-Aid. It was the last glass, John. In fact, he was so angry that he started punching his stepfather.
Over a glass of Kool-Aid.
Yes, and he started punching him in the head. His mother called the police, and he hid behind his bedroom door. Police entered thinking he'd fool them, until, of course, they just pulled the door back and saw him standing there. He was charged with misdemeanor assault and battery.
I thought you were going to say he crashed through the wall.
He crashed through the wall and went, oh yeah, Kool-Aid! All right, John, you hear the story. Is it Florida?
No.
South Carolina. Sometimes I see things that are just so beyond stupid. And yesterday on Facebook, better to be safe than sorry.
Oh, no, that thing's going around again.
I mean, come on. Please stop. You've got to stop. Here, let me read one. I'm going to read one of them for you.
Oh.
These are one of the things going around. And I want you to listen to what I'm reading. Do you want me to ring the stupidity buzzer when I come to parts that you should have automatically known were stupid? For example, here's what people were posting. This is the exact copy and paste thing that people were doing on Facebook. Now it's official. It's been published in the media. No, it wasn't. Facebook has just released the entry price, $5.99, to keep the subscription of your status to be set to private. If you paste this message on your page, it will be offered free. Paste, not share. If not tomorrow, all your posts can become public. Oh, my God. Better safe than sorry is right. Channel 13 News was just talking about this change in Facebook. We don't even have a Channel 13, people. I do not give Facebook or any entities associated with Facebook permission to use my pictures, information, or posts, both past and future. Note, Facebook is now a public entity. All members must post a note like this. If you prefer, you can copy and paste this version. You must copy and paste. You must be out of your mind to think this is legitimate. Number one, who is under the impression that what you put on social media is private? The whole reason you put it there is because we're all narcissists.
And everybody has to, for whatever reason, they have to live their life to where their friends and whoever knows what's going on. Number two, Facebook is never going to charge because they don't consider you customers. Their customers are the giant corporations that buy advertisers or advertising. That's their customers. All right? You're not their customers. You're their goods. You are the goods. Facebook lets you do it for free because they need you so they can charge their customers, the advertisers, in order to reach you. So stop believing this nonsense. And by the way, you're putting all your stuff out there on social media. What the hell do you care about privacy? James, you're on the Ray Lytle Show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Ray, you're killing me today. I was so hoping that you would do a story on this. The stupidity of just, oh, my God. It was like prayers answered.
I just don't understand people who fall for this. James, I'm going to give you the other one. All right? I'm going to give you the other one that everybody's falling for that's making me crazy. NASA has confirmed there will be 15 days of darkness. Oh, for God's sakes. This woman in Australia goes into labor at her house. And her boyfriend is with her. By the way, boyfriend, not husband. Boy, really, I'm starting to sound like... I really am starting to sound like someone's opinionated aunt. Oh, I see they're not married. Oh, call me old-fashioned. I just think someone should marry before having a child. But anyway, so the woman's boyfriend's there, and they go into labor, right? And so the guy realizes they're not going to make it to the hospital. I mean, baby's on its own timetable, you know, and the baby's coming out. So the guy calls 911. Well, the 911, the dispatcher, and I guess all dispatchers know this. I should have a dispatcher on one of these days. Dispatchers know how to talk you through things, including how to give birth. So the dispatcher, Australian dispatcher, starts telling the boyfriend how to deliver the baby. And the boyfriend, Barb, you won't believe this, the boyfriend gets grossed out, and he gets up and he leaves. While the baby's being born,
yeah,
he just leaves. So the dispatcher is wondering what's going on. Finally, the mother picks up, the woman giving birth, picks up the phone. So anyway, I do have audio of...
You have audio of that? Oh, come on.
I won't play it all because it's pretty
gross.
Please. I'll play the part where the woman, where the dispatcher's talking to... The woman, so he had to talk her through the childbirth, all right? He basically had to talk the woman through birthing her own child. I don't know nothing about birthing no babies. But she was able to birth her own baby.
Okay, now grab the baby. Have you got a spare towel there? Okay, now is the baby crying or breathing yet?
Yeah, you made a little bit of noise.
Good. Now, can you see any problems? Is it cord wrapped around its neck or anything? You're doing a fantastic job. You're doing... Okay.
There's an ambulance.
You've done a fantastic job.
You've done a wonderful job birthing your baby. We're very proud of you. Can you believe that? I'm serious. I got to ask you, ladies. Do you let the guy back? I mean, what do you do at that point? How do you forget? By the way, they say that the boyfriend came back after the baby was born. How do you forgive your boyfriend, the father of your baby, if he leaves? Oh, this is too gross. And he just gets up and leaves while you're giving birth. I don't know. I guess you got a kid together. So what are you supposed to do? Have the kid not have a father? But good Lord. I don't know how women do it. Hello.
Hi, Ray.
Hello.
I was, I guess it was second or third daughter. I don't recall which. I had been working all day and had not eaten a thing. I get to the hospital, and I am helping the wife breathe and breathe and breathe and breathe. and I'm getting lightheaded. I'm hyperventilating. So the doctor says, hey, Greg, sit down before you fall down.
There's a guy named Daniel Fleetwood who is a huge Star Wars fan. 32 years old, when he was a little kid, he was introduced to Star Wars. Fell in love with it. Watched those first movies over and over and over and over again. Went to the movies when they came out to the theaters. Heard that they were doing the sequel of Star Wars in The Force Awakens. Heard they were doing it, and it was going to come out. He was all excited when he found out about it 2 years ago. Well, sometime between then and now, after hearing the good news that they were doing a Star Wars movie, he heard the bad news that he had cancer. And it was a rare form of cancer called spindle cell sarcoma, which is a connective tissue cancer. So he gets this horrible news that he has cancer. And yet the one thing he's looking forward to is seeing the Star Wars movie. So as he tries to fight the cancer and is losing the battle, he still has one thing to look forward to. I got to see the Star Wars movie. I got to make it to see the Star Wars movie. His doctor tells him, I've got really bad news. Chemotherapy isn't going to help. It's a time to end the treatments. You're not going to beat this. And all he says is, I just got to make it to the Star Wars movie. Got to make it to go see this Star Wars movie. And Daniel Fleetwood is convinced that he's going to make it. He tells everyone around him he's going to make it. And he's trying. I mean, he tries really hard. But unfortunately, when you get cancer and they can't get you into remission, you go on cancer's timetable instead of cancer being on yours. And for him, July rolls around, and the doctor tells him, I've got horrible news, but you've got maybe 2 months left. This is in July. And he gets sicker. He gets more sick and more sick. But yet he's hanging on. And the reason he's hanging on, he tells his wife, I've got to see the Star Wars Force Awakens. Got to see Star Wars Force Awakens. So he lives past the 2 months. He's told the beginning of January, or beginning of July, he's not going to make it. He lives through July, lives through August. 2 months are up. He's still around. He lives through September. Then October, he's living through October. He's telling his wife, I got to see Star Wars. I got to see Star Wars, The Force Awakens. I've got to see it. But his body's giving out. His organs are starting to give out. Finally, he had to be put in hospice. And his wife is by his side. She's young too. She's 32 as well. She's losing her husband. She's spending as much time with him as she possibly can, knowing that he's drifting away. Slowly, but yet too fast for both of them. And he tells his wife, I just wish I could see Star Wars, The Force Awakens. It's all I wanted to do. So he's in hospice. He's past the point of being of living any type of normal life. And his wife takes this crazy chance on social media. She starts a GoFundMe account to try to help pay for some of the medical expenses and lets people know that, unfortunately, he's not going to get to live his dream, which is to make it to see Star Wars The Force Awakens. And this weird thing happens. Someone starts a hashtag Force for Daniel on Twitter. And everybody starts saying, hey, does anyone know how this guy can see the movie before he dies? He's got weeks to live at most. And Mark Hamill, who was Luke Skywalker, someone tweets him. Someone tweets John Boyega, who is playing the character of Finn Balor in The Force Awakens. And the two of them retweet it and send it out.
No.
And Mark Hamill says, I'll do whatever I can to help. So then, here's the deal. Disney owns Star Wars. Mark Hamill does not have a copy of the Star Wars movie. He was just an actor in it. So was this John Boyega guy. But J.J. Abrams is the director of Star Wars. And yesterday, J.J. Abrams found out about this. They found out that this man is dying. He's in hospice. He's bedridden. All he wants to do is make it to Star Wars The Force Awakens. And Disney, is J.J. Abrams gets hold of Disney and says, hey, I've got the movie. We still have a couple edits to make. I guess they have a couple edits to make in the movie where it's a little bit longer than what's going to be shown in the theaters. But this guy lives, somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Meanwhile, they're doing this movie in Los Angeles. They're getting it all finished. The Disney Corporation sends over people to this guy's house, right? Or to the hospice this guy is. They send the people over to the hospice where they seal off the room and they have a big screen. And they have with them a copy of Star Wars The Force Awakens. And these people who work for Disney, one of them, I guess, is an intern, and then two people who work in marketing were the only ones that they could get. And they put them on a plane, flew them out with this movie, right? They show up, they go in, and they show this guy the movie. Of course, they're not allowed to say anything that they see because, let's see, the secret of this is, huge secrets and twists and all that stuff. So, of course, they got to sign non-disclosure agreements. Not that this guy's going to be around long anyway. But Disney and Lucasfilm got this guy a copy of The Force Awakens and showed it to him last night. Like late last night, he actually saw it. He loved it. In fact, there's another rumor that they let him see it one more time.
How cool is that?
And then they wished him well, hugged his wife, and they left. Isn't that an amazing story?
That is an amazing story.
And now he is, unfortunately, they say he's got days to live. But he's accomplished his goal.
That's awesome.
He had one thing he wanted to do before he died. Was watch Star Wars The Force Awakens, and social media made it happen. People hearing the story and hashtagging this and that and tweeting and sending it out and talking about it and spreading the word. It actually reached the Disney Corporation. It reached the Lucasfilm people. It reached the director, J.J. Abrams. It reached Luke Skywalker, for God's sakes. And they made it happen. They made this guy's one wish in his life come true. That's what social media did. So I want you to think about that next time you're using social media to be a bully, or next time somebody's using social media to do something horrible, or next time you're using social media to call Obama a Muslim Brotherhood member. Remember that social media can also be used for some pretty amazing things. Like making a person's last wish come true. So congratulations to Daniel Fleetwood, who gets his wish. It's a Ray Lyle Show.